Well, hello, hello, hello. Oh my goodness. Whew. Okay. Whew. Let me go ahead and put the bullhorn down. I don't need that right now. Okay. Let me get that situated. All right. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning to you. Okay. Yes, indeed. Mercury is in microbraids, honey. I hope y'all buckle up. I really hope that you are in for a show. It has been a minute since I have been on this platform, since I have been live, since I have done all these production tools. So I just want to give you a heads up in advance. I don't have everything together like I usually do to flow seamlessly, so please give me grace as I'm going to be giving y'all clips after clips. We're going to be snitching on some people around here because I just don't understand why some people do what they do, why people lie the way that they lie, and why they don't show up being authentic, why they don't show up being accountable, transparent, or operate with integrity. But we're gonna snitch today. We're gonna hold people accountable because that is what we do. Now, as we always get started on this programming, we always have our church announcements. Amen. And so let's go ahead and enter into that space so that we can receive those messages. So the first thing that I wanted to update you on is the Cyber Task Force. I just want to give a shout out to school board member Karen Perez for our partnership in this. This cyber task force is designed to help parents and caregivers keep their children safe online. If you have been following my work and journey, you know that this is something that's very passionate for me. You know that I have been doing this work and educating people on how to stay safe online. And this cyber task force is a great way for people to get information for free on what is happening on these devices. So on June 5th, at 6:30 p.m., there is a QR code that if you have a phone nearby or whatever have you, you can scan it and it will take you right to the registration page in order to get the link, okay? We're going to be talking about how to set up parental controls on Apple and Android devices. This is really important because there are some parents that give their child a device and have no idea how to even set up the device to make sure that the children are on the screen time appropriately, that they don't have access to things that are not appropriate. So again, I want to give a shout out to school board member Karen Perez for just opening the door to have this task force. And join us June 5th, 2023 at 6:30 p.m. Amen, amen, amen. All righty. Next on the church announcements, and I'm so glad that you're here. I see you in the comments, and if you're watching, make sure you say good morning, okay? Good morning, Tiffany. Good morning, sis. I love you so much. And it's just really amazing to be in this space and to do this work. It really means a lot. So the next thing that's on the church announcements is the Cell Phone Check podcast. So I had made an announcement that I was going to retire Morning Tea and Allegations and that I was going to start a new podcast called Cell Phone Check. Well, as you can see from the background and the title, I'm still doing Morning Tea and Allegations.
Snitch.
Yep, I am. And so as soon as I posted about the plans of the podcast, a couple of months went by and I lost my grandmother and I am still going through the grief process of that. I have written an article about grief. You can go check it out. I'll make sure that I link it in the comments so that if you are dealing with grief, Mother's Day is tomorrow. So for those that have lost their mothers and their loved ones, I'm giving you comfort and love during this time because it takes a village, all hands on deck. And so I'm just giving you love in this moment, in this time, because I know it's hard and difficult. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get to our programming, I have a new disclaimer. For those of you that are OGs that have been with Morning Tea and Allegation for some years, go ahead and put OG in the comments, okay? Put OG in the comments. If you've been here, you know what this is all about, right? But I created a new disclaimer that I need you to intentionally listen to because I've changed some stuff up, all right? All right, let's go ahead. Roll the clip. Oh, see? Ooh, I was supposed to have that right there together. Roll the clip.
Thank you, church members, as we have additional announcements and disclaimers that require your full attention. I am a certified snitch and whistleblower that reports on what is happening in our community. Like I always say, people lie, receipts don't. With that stated, the content used in this programming is protected under fair use. In addition, the views and opinions on this programming belong to me. I hold myself accountable and prioritize accuracy and truthfulness in my communications. So unless you have receipts, don't start with me. God is still working on me. I love the block button to protect my peace, and I desire to snitch on everybody, including me. Thank you for your attention, and govern yourselves accordingly. Amen.
Yes, indeed. So please govern yourself. Y'all ain't gonna believe how my entire computer shut down on me, like completely shut down. I have no idea what's going on. So I am loading my computer. It came back on. And so I'm loading the tech tool back, but oh my goodness. Okay. Like the Mercury is in micro braids, baby. Okay. Hold on. I'm signing in now. Oh my goodness. This is so wild. This is so wild, but I'm glad y'all still here rocking with me. I appreciate that so much. All right, here we go. Let me close out of this.
Woo, child.
Y'all, I'm thankful for all these devices that the Lord has blessed me to be able to pick up where I left off. But that was wild. And no, Natasha, it wasn't your phone. It was me, baby. It was me. I'm so sorry, but we back. All right. So I appreciate y'all for putting the OG in the comments for those who've been here and know how this thing works. So my notes that I had disappeared. So I don't know where I am in this programming right now. So hold on. Let me pull up the receipts. All right, here we go. Whew. All right. So we played the disclaimer. We all good with that. All right. So govern yourselves accordingly. Amen. Amen. So after years of fighting the district regarding salary increases, they finally issue raises. Mm-hmm. Now, if you are an educator working in Hillsborough County Public Schools and you have received a raise, I would like to know personally how much you have received in addition to what's your raise amount, okay? I'm going to get there in a second. But Channel 10 had posted this a week ago about what was happening with the raises. And so I'm just going to play the clip for you. All right, roll the clip.
After a 10-month fight, tonight Hillsborough County Public School teachers are celebrating a salary win, but some say it's not enough to fill the 700 vacancies. 10 Tampa Bay's Shannon Clough explains the pay bump that's been approved and why they say more is needed to keep them in the classroom.
Inflation is just taking all of my salary right now.
As a ninth grade teacher at Blake High School, Roger Marcellus loves his job, not for the money.
I just want to be able to live and not have to struggle.
What are the struggles you all are facing right now?
The biggest struggle is just it just doesn't go far enough.
Like many Hillsborough County teachers, Roger works a second job. He tells me other teachers have just had enough.
The first day of this academic year, one of the ninth grade teachers quit.
Those with the Hillsborough Classroom Teachers Association say there are 700 openings in schools.
Imagine teaching for almost a decade and never seeing a pay increase.
That was the reality until recently. Members with the Hillsborough County School Board approved a pay bump for teachers with experience.
Some have claimed that this fight was for a raise, but in fact, this was about our educators and support professionals earning their accrued years of experience, years that they've already worked for in our schools.
The district will now give teachers a recurring raise for the current year, rather than a one-time bonus. In Roger's case, he has 14 years of experience and will now see a pay bump for that. He also has a master's in literature, something the district will pay a supplement for. Officials say the fight for better pay is not over.
We thank the School Board of Hillsborough County for accepting the magistrate's ruling, while we call on them again to settle our contract before the 23-24 school year begins.
In Hillsborough County, Shannon Klo, 10 Tampa Bay.
For a broader scale here, we went to the Florida Department of Education to see average salaries across the state and where Tampa Bay ranks. Hillsborough averages just under $54,000, Pinellas just over $51,000, and Pasco just over $46,000. The highest average teacher salary for the entire state is Sarasota, with over $62,000.
Okay. So I see comments, right, that I want to highlight before I get to the next clip, right? And so these are some of the comments that I want to highlight because this is the reality, okay? This is from our educators. This is from our squad members that are reporting what's happening, okay? So the first comment, Emily Lee, squad. Teachers years 0 through 7 did not earn anything since the salary, since it's the same for the first 8 years. Mm-hmm. This comment says, not a raise, but a step adjustment. Some people got $300. Some people got $1,100. Some got close to $2,000. But it depends on the step they are on. Kimberlyn said, is this what they're calling a raise? Well, to Natasha's point, the reporting said that there were 700 vacancies. I'm here to tell you that there are thousands, okay? And we're going to get to why schools are closing and the budget and the money. Like, we've been talking, oh, geez, okay? Hello? We've been talking about this for quite some time now. Okay? About what's happening with the district. So I don't understand why people now are coming out the woodwork so confused or don't understand what's happening. Warnings have been given, baby. So let's go ahead and roll this clip of a Teaching for the Culture squad member, Denise Thomas, who did her Friday rant, who calculated what their raise looks like. It was very transparent, and Denise tells it all. Roll the clip.
Good morning. It's Friday, so now it's time for the Friday rant. And I, you know, again, I decided I was going to bring some visuals because the teachers in Hillsborough County have been fighting for just what we consider a raise. And, you know, a CTA has gone to the table, a school board has gone to the table, and finally, after months and months and months of years, actually, because let's not even pretend that it's months, it's years of carefully crafted negotiation, and of course myself doing a query amongst my teaching peers, have come up with what we have found. Some of us have received a raise in the equivalent of $1.13, and I myself personally received a $2.02 raise, which I don't know if, you know, and what I did is this: what could I purchase with $2.02, because if you calculate it over the course of the paychecks and the retro and all that stuff like that, I mean, I'm quite sure there's some things you can buy, but comparing it actually to the cost of living. So I went around, you know, I started visiting one of my second favorite places in the world, which is the Walmart, and I found that I can still purchase ramen noodles for, if you buy them individually or at the corner store, probably around a dollar. But then as I strolled forward, I had to say, you know, keep these with me all the time. These are Clorox wipes, and you know, that's about a dollar and change. But then as I strolled through for the items that I actually needed, I realized that Aveeno, no product endorsement, is $7.99, and okay, a bottle of Gain is even in the dollar store, almost $8 for. So I'm just saying. And these are just basic items. So, you know, when I ask y'all to sponsor the kids, I'm thinking we need to sponsor the teachers because, you know, some of us are living just above the poverty line. And you know, all this fighting and complaining over $2.02, $1.13, and in some cases, in terms of the paras, nothing, $0.00. So I when people talk about what teachers do and what teachers go through and all the things that I talk about, understand something, that the value doesn't match what we do. And when people say, oh, you all teach for the outcome, not the income, hell no, we teach for the income. Because honestly, we gotta pay bills too. We got to survive too. I got to eat. And everybody knows I love to eat. When children walk up to you and say, your money's what buys my pencil. No, honey, no. So somewhere along the line, someone has fed into the children that we are valueless, and that we are supposed to pay for their expenses. We're going to move on to, let's talk about, we have 3 weeks of school left. Three. En español, tres. Okay? So, we got 3 weeks of school left. And your children are still thinking that this, you know, school is over for them. Because they've already taken the first battery of tests. But understand the rest of them still coming. I mean, yes, we've taken the reading and fast. And some of them, my kids so far, from what I could tell, I've done well. But we still got, in fact, today is a civics EOC. Next week is math. And then we keep on going. It's on and on and on, right? So I just want you to do two things. One, remind your children that school ends on May 26th. It's not over today. It ends on May 26th. You can have them all back on May 26th, okay? And two, now, this is from me. This ain't the district. This ain't your school. This ain't nobody's. This is from me. If you know, because let's be real, you do know your children. If you know your child is the type of child that creates problems everywhere they go, you are free to keep them home with you until the day of the exams. Why don't you contact your school, go on the school website. They post the information on there. If your child know they have an exam next week, Thursday, just keep them home. Let them have a visit at the house. Let them do what they do. I mean, some of those children who create problems, we don't know what them scores look like. They know actually how their grades look, so does it equate to their behavior? So like I said, this is from me. This ain't about you. This is from me. Trying to help me make the testing environment a wonderful place to be. That's all I'm asking for. Can you help me do that? Okay? And speaking of testing environment, listen, please make sure your children are sleeping the night before, because I can't tell you how many times I've had to wake children up during the test. And speaking of my money, my $2.02, do you know a box of mints is $8 in Walmart? And that's the mints I was giving out to the kids to keep them awake. The soft mints, because, you know, none of us like that hard, you know, church candy. I don't know where that, they're still making that stuff up. Anyway, all I got to say is this. School is still in session. Please do your level best to make sure that your children are aware that we're still in school till May 26th. And after that point in time, y'all can have them, okay? Them not me. Them are for you, okay? All right, have a wonderful day. That's all I got to say for the day. Stay deep with no one like me with the Friday rant. Rise against negative tactics. Rise against negative thoughts. Rise against negativity today. And please help them children rise up so they could go take these exams. Bye.
When we say help them children, help. Help. But guess what? There are children. All of them. And we all have a responsibility for our children. Now, while that video was playing, there was some discussion in the comments that I do want to highlight, because this is live, this is real time. And for those that will watch the replay later, for those who will listen to this in the podcast form. Join live so you can be active in the conversation. But there's a comment that I want to highlight because this is the reality of what's happening with our educators in this school district. The comment says, HCPS teachers this year have experienced homelessness, shelter living, living in cars, evictions, and using food pantries to eat. And earlier before I started the stream, I saw someone post in the Hillsborough Teachers Talk It Out group about how and the best strategy to file for bankruptcy. So what Tiffany is saying is absolutely correct because I've seen it too. This is the reality of what's happening to our educators. And we continue to push and push. We continue to have legislation that do not match what the teachers need right now. We are witnessing the dismantling of public education. I've stood right here for years showing you the signs and telling you that you're better off educating your own children because what is happening right now is not sustainable. And it is happening on the backs of our children and the staff members that are working so hard to bridge the gap, to make a difference. Okay? So when there's conversations about teachers and what teachers are not doing, please understand that teachers are not getting paid what they're worth. And please understand when I say that the educators in Hillsborough County Public Schools did not get a raise. Let me say that one more time for the people in the back. The educators in Hillsborough County did not get a raise. They received a step increase based on their already years of service that needed to be held accountable for. The district is on back pay. The district is late paying our educators. They didn't get a raise. They got what was owed. Owed. Okay? So when we have these conversations on social media and we want to talk about what teachers are doing and not doing, please make sure that you keep that same energy because our teachers are not getting paid. And if you haven't stepped a pinky toe in the classroom recently,
shut up.
Oh, y'all missed that, huh? If you haven't stepped a pinky toe in the classroom in the past year,
shut up.
Okay. If you haven't volunteered and provided services to our children,
shut up,
please. Because the conversations that y'all are having are very toxic. And it's not helping the conversation. It's not moving us forward. It's not helping our children. Let's go ahead and take a commercial break because I'm getting ready to snitch. And this is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again because that is exactly what we're about to do today. So govern yourselves accordingly and enjoy the commercial. This podcast is sponsored by Make Snitching Great Again. MSGA, baby. Enough is enough, and it's time for accountability, transparency, and integrity. It's time to snitch. Save 10% by using coupon code PETTYB. Visit us online by visiting snitchwithus.com.
Snitch.
Now back to the broadcast. Mm-hmm. All right. So next on the docket, we're going to be talking about Timothy Delgado. He likes attention and he likes to put hands on people and I like to snitch. So we're going to talk about it. Okay. If you don't know who this individual is, buckle up because I am going to be making sure that he is held accountable for how he treated Carla at the school board meeting. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we're going to go ahead and roll some clips and go ahead and enter into evidence what's happening. We're going to play the clip, Timmy showing out. Roll the clip.
Wait, so I'm not allowed back in?
No, not for today. No, ma'am.
Wait, I'm not specifically?
No, ma'am.
Me specifically?
Yes, ma'am. I'm asking. You can't come back in.
I can't?
You cannot
come
back in.
Why not?
I just explained to you
why.
What
did I do?
Your outburst in the boardroom.
I didn't do an outburst. What outburst?
Ma'am, you can't come in. I'm telling you.
Wait, what outburst? What are you talking about? Who? What's your name? What's your name? Wait, why can't I be in there? Wait, no, don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
You're going to leave?
Okay, wait. What do you mean?
Inside.
Wait, why can't I come inside? Wait, don't touch me. Wait, stop. Wait. Why can't I be inside? Why not?
What's the problem? What's the problem? So she can't come back in. Why?
though she can't come back.
By who?
I already explained that to you.
By who? Did they say anything? What did I do? What outburst?
Why didn't you tell me that? Because it's with her.
I know, I'm with
her. Your mother welcome to go back in. She
why?
Can't.
Why not her?
I'm talking to her.
I'm talking to you.
Okay? Thank you.
Why can't she come back in?
Yeah, why can't she come back in?
What did I do? What's your name? What outburst?
So what's the problem here?
What's your name?
That guy did, issue? Yeah.
This is a public meeting.
That guy right there. I just tried to go back in, and they said I couldn't go back in because the board members didn't want me back in, and because I made an outburst with my speech, which I didn't. I just made a speech, but I feel like I should, like.
So what did they say to you?
I can try to go back in, but I tried to go back in to sit down, and they said that I couldn't go back in because of my outburst when I was speaking, but I don't know what they're referring to. It's all recorded. There was no outburst, right?
No, there was absolutely no outburst on your part. There were on the other side. And last week, I left the building and I came back in with no problem. They said, sure, you just got to go through the table. I stayed for another hour and a half last week.
Yeah, that was a little strange.
Did you try to explain it to him that you weren't doing the outburst as the people reacting to
it? Yeah, he said, I just can't go back in. But, I mean, I feel like I should be able to.
Which comment of yours do you think it was that was getting the reaction? Because I heard some of the things that were saying, but I'm wondering if you can think about what it was that you said that they were reacting to.
Maybe just the fact that I was saying that it's not just about this book and that they have a much larger agenda, a hateful agenda, a bigoted agenda. So, you know, I think just stating my opinion. I mean, these people say that they're for free speech, but, you know, when people speak their minds, then they want to, you know, get the cops on me. So I don't know what that's about.
And you said that they said that the school board?
Yeah, the board members.
Decided that you couldn't come back in? What did you do? Leave to go to the bathroom or something?
Mm-hmm.
And come back in? And just as simple as that, you went to come back in, and the police said the board members, well, they're sitting up there. What did they do? Check them?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Timothy. Timmy. I'm glad that you caught it too, because when the man was like, I'm talking to her, and then the man was like, but I'm talking to you, and his whole body language and tone changed when he was engaging with that man. Okay, so let me give you context to fill this in here. Okay, so on March 28th, Timothy had inappropriately touched a registered public speaker, Carla, and had advised that the school board members had ordered her removal from the property. In the video, Timothy continued to touch Carla inappropriately after being asked to stop and accused her of making an outburst. Now, I just have a couple of questions. One, why did Timothy feel comfortable with making these type of actions without proper authorization? Why did Timothy feel that it was appropriate to put his hands on Carla after repeated requests to stop? And school board policy actually outlines that all district employee directives come from the superintendent, not from the board. So the board members saying to remove her from the property, that's not even the chain of command. That's not even how that works. And so the question is Timothy a police officer? Timothy works in the security department of Hillsborough County Public Schools. Okay. Now, moments later, Sam and Carla, they re-enter Rozac after some time had passed, and they were confronted by an additional security services team. Now, according to the employees, the lieutenant said that the board members requested her removal from the meeting. But here's the thing, okay? Somebody lying. Mm-hmm.
Snitch.
So let's go ahead and roll that clip. Roll the clip.
Well, ma'am, we can't come back in. I'm sorry.
Me?
No, you can, yeah. You can come
why, back. But who, why not?
You can't come back in.
But why not specifically? Why? Well,
you just can't come back in.
What is?
But isn't this a public meeting? Or is it not? Is it a private meeting?
Ma'am, you're asked to leave.
By whom?
Ma'am, we just want to know.
I don't know.
So you don't know who you got the order from?
We were told to have you removed by the board members.
Okay, so apparently, what's your badge number?
101.
Okay, and how about you?
102. All
right, so you don't know who told you. You have no idea, and yet you're doing it.
Give me a favor, just step outside.
Just outside the door.
Okay. You guys well, who's can keep the order filming. From?
Outside right, the door.
We'll leave it at that.
Okay, we're asking
we'll
you,
leave
please.
It at, we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm. Now, when she asked for badge numbers, so they badge number 101 and 102, huh? That's what we're gonna say your badge number is. See, this is what I'm talking about. When you have employees that work for a school district and they do things like this, okay? It breeds a culture where people can just do things and not be held accountable. And to this day, okay, I haven't received my records that I've requested. To this day, I have not received any response to what was Timothy's accountability actions. How was he held accountable in this moment? This is wrong. This is unethical. And I just need people to understand that there are employees like this. And when you have a culture where people are not held accountable, you have chaos and controversy that happens with the school district, which is why we're in this situation. The 7th largest school district in the nation, we have discussed, is broke. They have bad credit and the cards are maxed out. So let's shift and talk about Jest Elementary and all of the things that have been happening with that. So Jest Elementary was slated to be closed because there wasn't enough students. They said that were in school. It was slated for 600 students and less than 300 were there. And the kids are not performing well, and this was an idea to go ahead and repurpose. At one point there was conversations about housing, and I had questions on, well, if a school is going to be rezoned for housing, did anyone pull any permits to make sure that could happen? I didn't get any responses to that. Then I heard that the reason why people were closing just was because we had to save money in the district. And then I didn't understand math-wise, the math ain't mathing for me, to understand, well, what is the financial savings? What does that look like? Can you actually produce it on a sheet of paper, a receipt, something, so that we can actually see that, hey, this actually is a benefit? So I don't know, other than I know this, that what you seen at Jest is just beginning. And I hope that the people that came to the school board meeting, that was the most people I've ever seen at a school board meeting talking about what's happening. But I hope that y'all keep that same energy and hold this district accountable, because there's more coming. This district has been operating in a deficit for quite some time now. And the only thing that saved this district was COVID relief funds. Mm-hmm. The district was going to be taken over by the state. Remember that? Because of the financial obstacles. Remember that? So I seen on Facebook that there's some people on this apology tour and we should apologize to certain people. And I'm just like, well, what are we apologizing for? Because if the district had money, we wouldn't be in this situation in the first place. This is the the selective outrage and participation that I'm talking about, people. Y'all come out here on social media and y'all do all that talking, wop, wop, wop. But like I said, if you haven't been intentional in our classrooms to see what our kids are doing,
shut up!
Okay? Please. Because you're not helping. You're not adding any value. You're running your mouth. Okay? So if you upset with me, be upset with the receipts. Okay? I don't even care anymore. I don't. Okay, there's still fake pages around here. You have a grown man operating a fake page because he got nothing else better to do. Okay, and you got people that's talking on these pages and whatnot, and some of them can't even step foot on the classroom because of their background, huh?
Shut up!
Okay? So, for those of you that did not watch the school board meeting, I want to take an opportunity to highlight some of the things that were mentioned so you don't have to watch this long meeting. I just clipped a couple of things that I felt was important that we discuss because I found it very interesting, some of the board comments regarding this situation at Just. And I just want to set the playing field here that keep in mind that when they were talking about these boundary changes, which years ago, I stood right here and told you that there's an issue with the boundaries and how it doesn't make sense why children are bused across the city lines just to go to school, just to get an education. And we're still here having this conversation years later. But now there's some financial impact that is happening. And I need y'all to be aware, but not just be aware, do something and not just talk about it because it's popular. Just don't talk about it now because you want to be featured in the news. Don't just talk about it now because it's trending, because what's happening at Just is going to happen to many of our schools that are under enrolled, schools that are not performing. And ultimately, schools that have prime real estate, like the river. Anywho, so I want to share this clip from Lynn Gray, okay? And I just have a couple of choice words for Lynn Gray. So for the ushers and the deacons, can y'all go ahead and lock the door? We're going to go ahead and get Lynn Gray in here, bring her to the front of the congregation because we need to have a conversation. Because what I don't understand is you, Lynn. I don't understand you. Roll the clip.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And by the way, Member Washington, you had 23 more seconds. So there. But at any rate, he'll get back in the queue. And I appreciate those voices from Fred Hearns, Sigma Sci-Fi, Stanley Gray, Omega Sci-Fi. I'm sorry. Michelle Patty, Reverend Dames, James Ransom, many of the leaders who spoke from their hearts and their minds this evening. And it has made an impact because now we see that the community has been heard. We see that there will be a advisory, a committee that should have been done a while ago. And it finally is being done. That particular advisory committee, the hope is that they will plan for the best outcomes for future students. I did want an early learning center. Before that, I wanted the just K-8 with Stewart. But the early learning center has seemed to capture at least many of the interest from the superintendent and board members. Whether it's Montessori, I'm not sure. I think a survey, and this again will come back to the advisory committee. Is that the right fit? Is that the solution? Will we close the school? We're not closing the school. In fact, I do believe that the school will be turned into an emblematic early learning center that we all should be extremely proud of, and we all should work with that infrastructure, including teachers that are certified. We can't continue running a school, and you all know this, with children being taught by substitutes. Some of them haven't even had a full-time teacher the entire year. It is true that when we looked at right before the COVID, 2020, 2019, and then from that point on until the transformation network took place, we did not have adequate human and educational resources. I have been very much involved with JUST, the principal there, as you, many of you know, I know. It is true, and there, and in fact, many, many children have been let down. I don't think we're going to be looking at that past. I look forward to the future. I look at all of you. You spoke tonight. Many of you may or may not have had a history of JUST, but I know that, should say E.E. JUST, I know Fred Hearns and certainly the Omega Psi Phi, who have helped so much in that school, as have other stakeholders. But I think right now we're looking at a community that is bonded by the challenge of making sure the children have the best educational outcome. I do believe that transportation, I agree, I did work on that upward, the Head Start, making sure those babies get taken care of on the new schools, and Superintendent Davis validated that. But the busing, I can't argue, I can't say that's not going to affect. But the betterment of the educational system will have these students geared towards success, not only academically, but most importantly, social, emotionally. Now, we can't prove that today, can we? We can't prove it tonight. But I believe with the advisory committee, and excuse me for using that same title, I'm sure you'll come up with another title emblematic of this group, but I do believe through the hearts and the minds of this committee that's forming that you will make sure that the best outcomes do come from these beautiful, wonderful children. And I know the sensitivity of having things taken away from you time in and time out. I was teaching since the 80s, the seventh grade centers, young. Certain centers were definitely segregated. And it is just this day and age, it should never even happen. No one should have a school taken away from them. But at any rate, I talk way too much. And I definitely say that I'm very pleased and proud of every one of these community members and educators who spoke from their hearts and again their minds for the welfare of these children now and in the future. Thank
you. Oh my God. Lingering. A couple of things. I'm trying so hard, y'all. I'm trying so hard to exercise grace when I communicate with this and not use profane language because that's not my character. But I want to scream and yell at Lynn Gray because she should have never been reelected to her seat. And we warned this in 2020. Lynn Gray. First of all, I think that it is time that you start making your plans of not running for re-election. Okay. I also think that you should have someone help you write your statements moving forward so that you can better articulate what you're saying, because what's happening is we're hearing dog whistles and we're hearing the same type of jargon over and over again. We don't need another committee. Lynn, can you tell us about the African American task force that you're on? So for the community, this is what y'all can rally for. Request a new board member to be the host of the African American community. Of the African American Task Force. I'm not sure why Lynn Gray decided that that was something that she was going to do, but she can't serve as the chair or any leader of the African American Task Force for Hillsborough County Public Schools. She can't. I'm sorry. She can't. This is my opinion. This is my show. And this is what I'm saying. She does not need to serve on any African American Task Force in Hillsborough County Public Schools, period, full stop. So if y'all want to advocate for something and rally for something, get her off of that. Because what's even happening in them task force anyway? Let's move on. So we have committee after committee after committee. Like, we had a finance committee, right, who was supposed to oversee the budget. Uh-huh. And then when I talked about the people on the committee, everybody came to talk about me. Whoop, 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 whoop. Where the money? Schools being closed down. Where the money? Crickets. Mm-hmm. Now, and that's why I'm snitching.
Snitch.
Mm-hmm. So, moving past Lynn and her commentary and what she had to say about it, what I found interesting was Dr. Stacey Hahn's point that she made. And before I say my comments on it, I'm just going to roll the clip so you can hear what she had to say from her mouth, because I didn't say it. She did.
Okay. Member Hahn?
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Chair Combs. So first, thank you to everyone that came out this evening. I know many of you came from a long way, and it's been a long afternoon for all of you. You know, as I said 2 weeks ago when we discussed this, I have looked at this through a student lens. My concern is on 284 students right now. You know, we're often called as board members to lower the dropout rates and increase minority graduation rates and increase literacy and math rates and decrease the number of students going to the school to prison pipeline and increase the number of students in AP and IB courses. And, you know, when I am thinking about these children, I think about those things because, and I'm going to talk as a 30-year educator now and not as a school board member, everything I know about education says that these students are in jeopardy, in crisis. And that's what keeps gnawing at me. I love the fact that the community is in this room and they want to wrap their arms around this school. I just keep focusing on these kids, you know, and facts are stubborn things, right? And so when you look at the data, whether it was 2 weeks ago or tonight, and, you know, we look at it and we see that 10 third graders are proficient in reading. 4 fourth graders, am I right? 4 fourth graders are proficient in reading. 10 third in reading. 2 fourth graders are proficient in math. 2 out of every fourth grader in the school. 4 out of every third grader. 2 fifth graders in the school are proficient in language arts and reading, and there zero proficiency in math. That is incredibly alarming. And you know what? You're right, Member Vaughn. We need to look at every school that has scores like this. And we don't talk about students enough. I think, you know, COVID has really, you know, taken up so much of the conversation, and we need to shift that. So, you know, the data tells the story of these students, how they've been struggling since kindergarten. Think about kindergarten, imagining students entering the school at 5 or 6, not knowing their alphabet, their numbers. First and second graders struggling to read and recognize words, unable to count to 100. How do any of us turn a blind eye to their story? I think it's wonderful that we want to reimagine and recreate this school. But at the same time, I'm trying to find a win-win here where these students are going to win. They're going to have exposure to highly qualified teachers and all of the resources that you've listed on this form. And that for me exists in those other schools. It's Dunbar and Tampa Bay Boulevard and Lockhart and Tampa Heights and Booker T. But to leave them in a triple F school, knowing what we know, looking at the data, that is heartbreaking to me. And it's heartbreaking that it got to this point. Absolutely. We can't turn back time. We can't redo what's been done. We can do better moving forward. As you know, we talk about how to reimagine just elementary school. But for those kids, the decision has to be made now. They don't have another year. They don't. If we want to close the achievement gap, we have to do right by these students tonight and then work together as a community to reimagine just. You know, I would love to see over the next year a principal hired, lead teachers hired, meeting with the community to get that going. I'll get back in the queue. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Member Hahn.
Oh, hell no. So this is the thing that gets me. So Dr. Stacy Hahn, our students before COVID was experiencing these risk factors that you're talking about. Hillsborough County Public Schools leads, okay, a list of the most underperforming schools in the state. Let me say it again. Hillsborough County Public Schools leads the list of the most underperforming schools in the state. Okay. So in 2019, I went through and I created a presentation, is on my page if you haven't seen it, where I went through 50 of the achievement schools, which now is the whole transformation network is completely different now. So we don't even have any data to see if the achievement schools was effective. But we know it's not effective because look at our children now. But you had campuses where only 16%, 9% passed the third grade FSA. This has been happening. So to put this on COVID, to put this on anything else, what have you been, if just keeps you up at night, then I want to know, what does foster keep you up at night? Does Potter keep you up at night? Does Robles keep you up at night? Sulphur Springs, do they keep you up at, should I go on? Of schools where less than 20% of those students pass ELA in math? So this is why it's important to listen to your school board members and listen to what they're saying and listen to what they're not saying. Now, we care about children's performance and making sure that they thrive. But in that same meeting, pay attention, in that same meeting, you know, there was a school that has now moved to a K-8, Carrollwood. They are a school. And the parents said this. They said, I go to an A school. My child goes to an A school. And they're getting ready to go to middle school. And the middle school that they're zoned for is Adams Middle School. And Adams Middle School is a D. And I refuse for my child to go to a D school after they've had this A-rated experience. Hello? Am I still on? Y'all hear me? So I need y'all to listen to what is being said and what's not being said. Because in that same meeting where they voted to close just, Carol Wood became a K-8. Okay, let's move on. So now you have Dr. Stacy Hahn that now is so concerned, so concerned, so performative about our children and their performance, okay? And What really surprised me was Nadia Combs. Now, Nadia, you know, it ain't nothing for me to pick up the phone and call you. To be honest, I've been too busy to have a conversation with you about this. But ushers, go ahead and lock her in here too, because she need to come up to the front of the congregation. We need to have this conversation, because when you was running for school board and you was running for those votes going against Steve Kona, that had 6 times more money than you in 2020, okay? And there was people on the ground working for you in your campaign. I want to be very clear, Nadia, that when you came into the race, okay, the odds were already set against you. And there were people that worked so hard to make sure that you got in that seat because of what Steve Kona was doing and the relationships that he was building in the construction industry with Chris Farkas. You wanted to meet with everyone, Nadia. You want to talk about the school to prison pipeline. And now, as the chair, 2 times as the chair, when I tell you, your fellow school board members are snitching on you, boy. Nadia, not everybody your friend. On that dais that you serve with, they might smile. They might key with you a little bit. But they ain't your friend, because they talking about you. And I just am so disappointed. I'm so disappointed in your comments. Because who are you preaching to? Who are you talking to in this clip? Let's roll the clip.
And just a couple more comments, and then we'll be closing out to vote. You know, some of the things that people, and I said this the last time, 10 years ago, there were 8,000 students in charter schools. There's now 35,000 students. There's 63,000 students who are homeschooled. That's all about parent choice. But we have to reflect as an entity when things grow or don't grow. That's what people do. In District 1, the total down in the last 15 years is 4,000 students. That's my district, where we have a large population of Hispanic students. In Sheikh Member Washington's district, we're down 7,500 students, okay? And as a matter of fact, even from the beginning of this year, the loss has been over 800 students. We have to make sure we put the resources in front of students. I will tell you that I taught at Franklin Middle School. I taught a dropout prevention program many years ago. I would move my students up 2 or 3 levels. Why? Because I had a variety of students in my classes. Because I was able to have quality teacher that was next to me. There's no question that the 2 biggest factors to move students are 2 things: the class size and the quality of the teacher. You know, people can do many things in the community. They can help support the home. They can help kids after school. But at the end of the day, those students deserve the same teacher in front of them every day. They don't deserve a substitute 1 week, the next week another substitute. Those kids deserve consistency. And if you care about those children, then you'll want them to go to a school that is going to have more wraparound services, that's going to have more certified teachers. Tampa Bay Boulevard is one of the schools that falls underneath where these kids would be redistricted. That school was 2 points from a B. They had one opening of a teacher. They have had the same assistant principal for years that moved up to be a principal. Kids need consistency. And that's why for me, we have to vote what's best for our students. And we have to really look at this community and see what we need to do. Do we need to do a K-3? What do we do? Do we need to get affordable housing to get teachers in that area? What do we need to do to put the right people in front of students? And we need to stop thinking about the building, but we need to think about the history of the building and make sure that we remember that, but make sure we put the students in front of the right place to be successful. Okay. Thank you, board. If there's no comments, we will go ahead to move to vote. Board members, please vote when your lights are flashing. Mr. Porter, if you want to explain, voting.
Yeah, it'll probably be helpful for the superintendent to repeat his recommendation. The motion on the floor is to approve the superintendent's recommendation. If you could just repeat that, because it's been a while since it's been uttered.
Yeah, You ready? Okay. Through the chair, my recommendation is to move forward this, with the closure of Just Elementary School, with creating an opening for the 284 students to have access to five sites. In addition to that, being able to actively engage this community to identify the next steps for a thematic approach, and being able to make certain that we identify what mentor and support staffs as we move forward to be able to serve children.
So if you're in favor of the superintendent's recommendation, which is to close JUST, you would vote yes. If you're against the superintendent's recommendation, you should vote no. The superintendent's recommendation is to close JUST. If you're in favor of that, vote yes. If you're not in favor of closing the school, vote no.
Okay, and the superintendent's recommendation passes with Member Gray, Member Rendon, Member Hahn, and myself voting yes, and then Member Washington, Member Vaughn, and Member Perez voting no. Okay, we will now take a 10-minute break.
I see the Nadia in the room. She here? Is she here?
Snitch.
Is she here? Okay. Well, Nadia, if you're in the room right now and you can hear my voice, I want you to listen to me very closely when I say this to you. When you stated and you said, if you care about these children. The people that are there care about our children. That's why they're there. And I don't understand who you think you preaching at. Now, I understand when we talk about charter schools and we talk about being competitive versus public education, but let's look at the big picture. Hillsborough County has been underperforming and is on a state's list for their underperformance, which has allowed state law to have other options to come up because the district was underperforming. So if the district was performing and the district had everything that it needed to do, we wouldn't need all of these options to begin with. And it would not be allowed by law. Law allows this to happen. The state law allows the schools to hope to come in when you have schools in the community that are constantly and consistently underperforming. So when we are trying to talk about charter schools and what they doing, the question is, what y'all doing? How are y'all leveling up? What type of innovation are we adding to our education system to bring more children so you can get more money into the district because you're broke? When we talk about these wraparound services, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing that word. What the hell does wraparound services mean? Because there's kids sitting in ACs. I'm sorry. They're sitting in classrooms without AC. Is that a wraparound service? When a child goes and they miss their bus because we don't have enough bus drivers, is that, we have a wraparound, someone gonna take them to school, we have a wraparound service for that? When our children are bullied and the persistent cell phone use and kids are being bullied, do we have wraparound services to protect our children from that? Because I'm getting sick and tired of hearing that we have these wraparound services and the receipts don't match. Huh? So I just think, Nadia, that if you plan for a second term, I hope you buckle up, because there's going to be some people on the ground that had worked hard for you that feel very disappointed and very slighted by your actions, how you've been treating board members, how you have been conducting as the chair of the school board, to where they were going to actively work against you and ensure that you don't hold that seat anymore. Okay? So, all in all, people, Mercury is in microbraids. There's a lot of stuff that's happening. I hope you buckle up, because there's so much more. And the root of it is because we don't have money. And then we have laws that were just passed in legislative session. For example, HB 1, which is going to have a significant impact to the 7th largest school district in the nation and the 3rd largest in the state, because that's going to allow more people to have more choices. And they're going to probably choose to move their child away from a school district that has the most underperforming schools. They're probably going to move to a different outcome, have a different environment, because they can. And it's going to hurt your bottom line at the end of the day, which is all under operation. So I don't understand. You still have Chris Farkas working at the job. I don't know. Help me. But I've been on here an hour, and this concludes Morning Tea and Allegation, Episode 8, Season 3, Mercury's and Microbraids. And I'm just sending love to the community. I'm sending love to our children. And I hope board members that speak on the dais about our children moving forward use inclusive language to say our children, because they are our children. They are your children that you are responsible for at the end of the day. To our educators who just celebrated Happy Teachers Appreciation Week, some of them don't feel appreciated. So give them some love. Okay? But enough is enough. And for those folks that constantly get on these social media platforms to just start some mess and just talking.
Shut up!
Huh?
Shut up!
Please!
Shut up!
Because no one got time for it. Nobody. We are dealing with a crisis. You have educators that literally played a Disney movie and is now being investigated by the state. Here's the receipt. The educator in Hernando County played the Disney Strange World, a parent complaint, and they received a letter that they're being investigated by the state. This is what we got going on, because Ron DeSantis over here fighting with Mickey Mouse, and y'all out here playing these games. Stop it. Our children matter. You matter. And we have to do better and be better moving forward. So I'm challenging you to take the pledge. Roll the clip. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. You can scan it on your phone. Take the pledge. Make sure that you honor these three keys: accountability, transparency, and integrity. That goes for me, too. I have to hold my own self accountable. So please govern yourselves with these announcements, and do not start it what ye cannot finish. You heard? Goodbye.